Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
For my community, our vocations start with survival. The world was not built for us, though it was built on the backs of our ancestors, the colonized, the oppressed, the enslaved, and other marginalized people. These are the words of Latinx practical theologian Dr. Patrick Reyes in his exploration of vocation. Entitled "Nobody Cries When We Die, God, Community, and Surviving to Adulthood," he asks the question, when the screams of innocence dying engulf you, how do you hear God's voice? Now, this is a striking passage that I've been pondering this week as I've been thinking about Jesus' own baptism. And I've also been thinking about the words that we say each week, words that showed up in the collect this evening, but also in the words that we pray when we pray for all who exercise their baptismal ministry in the church. Now, I don't know how you hear those words, but I guess part of it for me is the belief that we are praying for each other, that we might live into our vocation in light of our baptism, yes, but also the reality of Jesus' own baptism. Now, Frederick Buechner is famous for saying, and I've quoted these words here before, but he's famous for saying that our vocation is that place where our deep gladness and the world's deep needs meet. But before we discover that sweet spot, we have to make it. That is to say, we have to survive long enough to live into that seemingly privileged saying. In short, we need to live uncharacteristic, unrealistic lives that have not been and may never be known by most people in most of the world. There are many amongst us who have stories of survival too, of holding on for dear life, of wondering why the hell God brought us through whatever it is we've gone through, or if that wasn't God, then who was it? And where is God in all of this anyway? And some of us have started to find some of those answers, but not all of them, not all of us. For many of us, we're still working it out, sometimes on our own, sometimes in community, a mixture of frustration and anger and joy, and some sense that we have survived at least to today. And maybe we should do something about that, with that, for ourselves and for others. So when we think about vocation, where do our minds take us first? What are our dreams? What songs rise up within us? Do we talk about finding our passion? Do we talk about doing the one thing that makes us happy? Do we talk about finding ways to make the world a better place for ourselves, for God's good creation, or for generations yet unborn? Do we talk about that place where our deep gladness and the world's deep need meet? Or do we talk more simply, more basically, about survival? If it is true, as Dr. Reyes asserts, that vocations, especially for those who our society has marginalized and to whom systemic and personal violence has been done and done again and again and again, then it is also true that our vocation starts with life. Within the context of the Christian story, such life is the life of all created beings. In the beginning, life was not something that we chose. It was chosen for us. In the beginning, life was not in our hands. And some days it still feels as if it isn't. Our vocations start with survival. They are rooted in life, with life choosing life. They start with life choosing life with and for us. They continue with our own living choices and bump up against the choices of others. There's this constant interplay of choice. My choice, your choice. Our choices for and sometimes against each other. The things, the people we choose to value, and the things and the people we choose not. They're all in perpetual dialogue. And yet some voices dominate, and those voices are not always the voices of life. Often the voices of death are the ones in power. Sometimes they sound life-giving at first. Sometimes they sound smooth and reassuring. Sometimes they say all the right things, talking about equality and rights. And of course we do that. It's 2019. But then the veneer strips away. Decisions defended as being for the good of the many are revealed for the sacrifices they demand. But how often did those in power, how often do we, when we are in power, to choose to sacrifice ourselves? How often do we choose instead to sacrifice others, clothing it in the rhetoric of the greater good? That was the logic of Rome. That was the logic of the cross. That's the logic of those colonizing forces as they swept across barricades, weapons at the ready, ready to take down or to jail all who would resist. And it's in this kind of occupied world, staring down a militarized police force, that Jesus enters the river with John. He humbles himself before his cousin, prayerfully entering the river, opening himself to transformation and to encounter, to the possibility of life even in the face of the forces of death. Jesus chooses survival. He chooses community, resistance, and life. In the midst of a land occupied by forces whose presence was evidence that the exile, the slavery, the oppression, and colonization was far from over. It was in that kind of world, our kind of world, that Jesus enters the river with John. It's in the river that Jesus chooses life, a life that had been offered in grace and mercy from the beginning. It was neither marketed nor sold. It was pure. It was a no-strings-attached gift. This was life not offered by the political elite or celebrities or corporate power brokers. This was a life not offered by the military or police in loud voices. This was life offered as the whisper of spirit over primordial water. It is good. You can hear God saying at the beginning of Genesis, good, good, good. All of it is good. You were born out of goodness. You were born out of love. And together we have been born to bring about wholeness and peace. And we will stumble and we'll falter. But join me in the river, because you are my child, my beloved. In you I am well pleased. From before the dawn of time, I have known you in love. Join me in the water, and together we will survive. Together we can choose life. Together we can build a world of goodness, beauty, and delight. Join me in the water, I can hear him saying. This is how we can choose life. This is how we can set the captives free. Even if those captives are you or me.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.